We are in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, looking at verses 20 through 21. This morning, the title of today's message is Holding and Abstaining. As we get closer to the end of this book, or letter as it is properly, should be properly titled, we have two more commands to look at. Now, all the commands that we've looked at so far are interlinked. And these two that we'll look at today are no exception, for as you see, the first one that we look at this morning, hold fast to that which is good, well, that one is linked to the one just before it. So, hold fast to that which is good, or what is good, is directly tied to the command before it, that is to test all things. Now let's review for just a moment. We are responsible for what we hear. We pointed that out last week. And it is important to keep that one that we're looking at now connected to the command before it. Hold fast to what is good. Test all things comes before that. And then before that, do not quench the Spirit. Now again, remember as we talked last week, the Holy Spirit is God. And it is impossible for us to quench, or a better word to use in this place would be to extinguish God. You cannot do that. God cannot be extinguished. So Paul must mean something else. And here we come to see what he's talking about when he says, don't quench the Spirit, don't extinguish the Spirit. He means the work of the Spirit, the gifts and graces that the Spirit brings, especially, we could think, in the area of discernment. Discernment. For right after this, we are told not to despise prophesying. Now, prophesying is not speaking of things to come in the future, but it is the, instead of foretelling things, it is the forthtelling of things, the things of God, the Word of God. So, then you are not to despise the forthtelling or the giving of the Word of God, the work of the Spirit in a person to bring that forth. But at the same time, you are told to test or to prove all things, to examine everything carefully. Make sure it is the Word of God that you hear. Neglecting of the Word of God preached or taught is a way of quenching the Spirit, because the preaching and the teaching of God's Word are the means of grace, the things that God has granted to the church for its edification, for you, for your growth in the image of that which He wants you to conform to, and that is the image of Christ. We cannot quench the Spirit of God in the act of regeneration, for we're not active in that to begin with. That is a total and sovereign work of God through His Spirit to bring us who are dead in sins and trespasses to life again. And so we are passive in that. But when it comes to sanctification, what happens after justification, being made right for God and by God, now this sanctification, this growth in grace, this growth in Christ-likeness, we are active in this. And so we are not to see the preaching or teaching of God's Word as useless or unnecessary. And this is what we get in the idea when it says, do not despise prophecies or prophetic utterances. Doesn't mean that people stand in protest against it or show open animosity towards it, but meaning that you treat it like it is of no value, that it is useless and unnecessary. It's not despising the preacher or the teacher, because he dealt with that in verses 12 through 13, where he says that we are to to appreciate those who diligently labor among us, and to esteem them highly because of their work. And he's speaking of those who bring forth the word of God through the preaching and teaching. So he speaks of them in verses 12 through 13, but here he's speaking about what they preach and what they teach. If it is the word of God, we are not to despise it. It's not so much meaning open hostility to it, I said, but seeing it as useless or a waste of time. That quenches the spirit and actually is affront to God, period. So we are, instead of to despise it, we are to prize it. One of the inventions now or developments technologically that most people have in their houses now is call waiting. And you can be talking to somebody and say, oh, hold on, there's another call coming in. And sometimes the voice will break back in and say, look, I got to get this other call. And it almost gets you the feeling that, hey, that other call that came in after I called was more important to that person to listen to. And so therefore they said they'll get back to me because they wanted to keep the one that called in after I did. So if we're not careful, we treat God the exact same way. Oh yeah, I'm listening. Oh, but you know, there's a more important thought that's just come into mind. Oh, there's something I've got to do today on this day that's going to keep me out of church. I God understands my schedule and all that, and I have to do this today. And so often we put so little value. In fact, in this day and age, it's pushed to the best interest of folks that if you can make the sermon shorter and shorter and shorter, and boy, instead, if you could just add some visuals to it now, too. Don't despise the Word of God preached or taught. Prize it. But at the same time, prove or test all things. Make sure what you are hearing is God's Word. Search the Scriptures, Paul says in another place. Test the spirits, John tells us, because not all come from God. But at the same time, we don't always have to be testing and unsettled, you know, when you gather together in our Bible studies and in our Sunday school classes or here in service and saying, oh, I've got to be on guard today, never know what's going to come forth and not be right. So we don't have to be always testing and unsettled, but we must settle and hold fast to what is good. But let us remember, God does not have anywhere in His Word anything that teaches human infallibility or anything that calls for blind obedience to man. We are to evaluate that which we heard. Make sure it is from God, because there is no such thing as human infallibility, no matter who that human being is. But when we test it and see it is of God's Word, we are to hold fast to it. Hold fast. Examine everything carefully and then hold fast to that which is good. Good equals truth. To hold fast is to hold it, as it were, with both hands. And here it's in the present imperative, so it means to keep on holding. Holding it tight. The other day I saw a boy going down the road on his bicycle, and he had a brand new baseball cap on his head, a brand new Atlanta Braves cap on his head. And as he started going, the wind picked up, and it almost blew that hat off his head. And he quickly reached up, and he grabbed onto it, and then he pulled onto it tight, and he held onto one hand with the hat, one hand on the handlebars, and he would not let go of that hat. He held fast to that hat. Had he been able to move that other hand up there and hold it, he would have held it with both hands. And holding fast to that which is good will help us from being seduced by contrary and false teachings. The New English Bible, which is really not a translation but more of a paraphrase, puts it this way. Do not stifle inspiration, and do not despise prophetic utterances, but bring them all to the test. Then keep what is good in them and avoid the bad of whatever kind. This idea of holding fast to that which is good, holding fast to the Word, comes to us in several places. In Luke chapter 8 and verse 15, when Christ was dealing with the parable of the soils and the seed and how it took in the different soils. Well, in chapter 8 and verse 15, he's talking about the good soil. And he said, the seed in the good soil, well, these are the ones who have heard the word in an honest and good heart and hold it fast and bear fruit with perseverance. They hold the word fast, and because of that, they bear fruit with perseverance. It shows up again in 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 13. Only it's translated just a little bit of a different way here. 2 Timothy 1 and verse 13, retain or hold fast the standard of sound words which you have heard from me in the faith and love which are in Christ Jesus. Hold fast to those things. In the book of Titus, Titus 1 and verse 9, Paul writes this. Titus 1 and verse 9. Holding fast the faithful word which is in accordance with the teaching. Why? So that you will be able both to exhort in sound doctrine and refute those who contradict. In Revelation 2 and verse 25, Jesus says, hold fast what you have till I come. And in Revelation 3 and verse 3, he speaks virtually the same thing. Revelation 3 and verse 3, so remember what you have received and heard and keep it. That is, hold fast to it. So as we come back to what Paul is instructing here in 1 Thessalonians 5, what follows is immediately connected as well. Every one of us in our Bibles have things that were not there originally. And one of the things that we have in our Bibles that were not part of any kind of original manuscripts are verses. Now, verses were added by man. I think we're all pretty clear on that now. And they do have some value. Verses help us in referencing places in Scripture. But there are some times that they get in the way. They are man's addition to the Bible. And verses 21 and 22, well, they belong together. They don't need to be separated. But unfortunately, many have treated this as unrelated to what just preceded it. That's why I said that the New English Bible seemed to do the best with it, because it held it all together. Do not despise prophetic utterances. Bring them all to the test. Then keep what is good in them and avoid the bad, whatever kind. So when we look at verse 22, after he says, hold fast to that which is good, in verse 21, verse 22 says, abstain from every form of evil. Now, often, this has been taken out of context. Today, let's put it back in the context where it belongs. abstaining is the opposite of holding. So what he says is this: what is good or true, when you receive the word and you see that it is of the truth, it is of God, then hold fast to it. But on the other hand, if it is untrue, it is evil. So you are to abstain or stand aloof from it. Let it go. Now, it has often been taught that this verse has to do with our daily conduct. And it's very hard to look at it and say, folks, he's not dealing with our daily conduct here. Say, well, that's the way it's been taught to me for all these years. What are you talking about? It is a good rule to follow for daily conduct. It is a very good rule for daily conduct. It's a proper way to act each day. And by the way, if we're looking at it this way, while it is good for us to abstain from every form of evil, we must keep in mind that it is also good to follow that as to our perception of others as well. For too often, our perception of others is colored by evil as well. If anyone had to deal with this, it was Jesus himself. Jesus healed on the Sabbath, and they said, it's wrong for him to do that. It's evil for him to do that. They perceived what he was doing was evil when all the time it was good. Jesus ate with tax collectors and sinners, and they looked at him and they said, look at him sitting there with those tax collectors and sinners, eating with those nasty people. To them, they perceived what he was doing as evil, but yet all the time, it was good. He even allowed a former harlot to anoint him, and people said, oh, doesn't he know what kind of woman this is? They thought it was evil, but in reality, it was good. Unfortunately, it seems that Christians can often be the worst in trying to put evil on the acts of others. I remember one time in seminary, many years ago now, there were two girls who were in the religious education program, and they had the same dorm room. They got on fabulously. They were great friends. I often thought that whoever married one would end up probably having to put up with the other all the time. And they got along extremely well. They were the best of friends. And yet, I heard someone ask one time, you know, those two girls, you reckon they're lesbians? The evil perceptions that we put on things that we ought not to. One thing we must remember, what we are supposed to do out of love. 1 Corinthians 13 is often quoted at weddings and other such things. 1 Corinthians 13 is how we are to love one another. What Christian love is all about. And one of the things that Christian love is supposed to show is shown in verse 5 of 1 Corinthians 13. Love thinks no evil. Oh yeah, it's not naive and stupid, but at the same time, it's not perceiving things and trying to put the worst spin that it possibly can on the things it perceives. Some of the most harsh and hateful perceptions I have ever heard have come from the mouth of those who say they are believers. But now I'm straying from the point. I'm straying from where this verse is supposed to be. Paul says, hold fast to that which is good. When you hear the truth taught or preached, hold fast to it. That's the positive end of the command. The negative end is this: abstain from whatever is bad. Hold to what is good. Release that which is bad. Stand aloof. Distance yourself from it. It's all connected to the idea of not despising prophecies. Don't despise it. Listen to it. Hear it. If it is the truth, if it is good, hold fast to it. If it is not, let it go. Stand aloof from it. You see, at the time Paul was writing this, and even in the years that would follow, counterfeit letters were being distributed. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 2, he says this. He's warning them that you not be quickly shaken from your composure or be disturbed either by a spirit or a messenger or a letter as if from us to the effect that the day of the Lord has come. Be careful. You might even see a letter that looks like it comes from us. But you're to test that letter and make sure. And if that letter shows itself to be counterfeit, as some were, get rid of it. We can translate this verse, hold yourself aloof from every such form if it is evil. From that which appears evil. Yeah. In our walk and in our lives daily, we should abstain from appearing evil. No question about that. But this is not what he is teaching here. If someone is teaching things like God wants everybody to be rich, God wants everybody to be healthy and prosperous, healthy, wealthy, and prosperous. If someone is teaching that, and you can go in plenty of places in the Word of God and see, wait a minute, that doesn't square, then don't hold to it. Abstain from it. Let go of it. Stand aloof from it. This is what Paul is getting at. So in context, what Paul is saying, verse 22, does not teach or refer to evil appearances in ourselves, which we ought to abstain from, but to keeping ourselves at a distance from evil appearance in others. Paul was a bit more direct in this in Galatians chapter 1, in verses 6 through 9. He came down a little harder when he said, I'm amazed that you are so quickly deserting him who called you by the grace of Christ for a different gospel, which is really not another. Only there are some who are disturbing you and want to distort the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven should preach to you a gospel contrary to what we have preached to you, he is to be accursed, anathema, condemned. As we have said before, so I say again now, if any man is preaching you a gospel contrary to what you receive, he is to be accursed. And he said in verse 8, but even if we or an angel from heaven even should preach to you a gospel contrary to what we have preached to you, he is to be accursed. Well, how do you know it's contrary? You have to hear it first. And you have to hear it and hold on to it as the truth so that when something that is counterfeit is held up against it, you'll be able to say, aha, I need to let that go. And so again, we're brought back to relying upon the Holy Spirit for proper discernment. We need God's Spirit at work in us, testifying to the truth, writing it upon our hearts, holding fast to it with all our might, so that we will be able to tell that which isn't true and abstain from it. How awful if we have been active in quenching the effects of the Holy Spirit. So let us all resolve, because we all can do better, Let us all resolve, be more active in making use of God's means of grace and growth, not setting them aside, that we may have the discernment that we need. One more place that we'll turn to this morning, and then we'll be done. In Philippians chapter 4, in verses 8 and 9, Philippians 4 and verse 8 and 9, he says, "Finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good repute, if there is any excellence and anything worthy of praise, dwell on these things. The things which you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you." What are we supposed to do? We're supposed to dwell on these things. What things? Whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good repute, if there is any excellence and anything worthy of praise, dwell on these things, hold fast to these things. Well, how do we know? How do we know? How do we know what is true, what is honorable, what is right, what is pure, what is lovely, what is of good repute, what has excellence and is worthy of praise? How do we know these things if God's Word is not active in us? Do not quench the Spirit.